Amen. Well, as we get ready for this word this morning, as we conclude our series, Renew, we're going to go to the book of Acts chapter 28, beginning at verse 1 through 6. And this is what the word of God says. Once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. The people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake driven out by the heat bit him on the hand. And the people of the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, "A murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live." But Paul shook off the snake. Let me say that one more time. But Paul shook off the snake. Say that with me. But Paul shook off the snake. Church, help me preach and hit your neighbor right now. Just say, "Hey, shake it off." Come on, do a little shake for me. Come on, just shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Paul shook it off. The snake into the fire. And he was unharmed. And the people waited for him to swell up and suddenly drop dead. Aren't people nice? But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided he was a god. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word we're about to receive. Father, help us to shake the things off, Lord, that are holding on to us. Help us, Lord, to just trust you in difficult times. And we thank you, Lord, that we can come to church this morning and get a good, much-needed word. So I pray, Father, that you would help me preach it. And change our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, have a seat and give God some praise this morning. As we get into the word this morning, I think the AC just shut off and someone can check that out. Because you think you're hot, come up here and trust me, something happened. But anyway, the devil is real. I know he's trying to stop this message this morning. But as we go into this word, I want to preach to anyone here this morning that maybe you're going through a tough time. I'm glad you're here. You're in church. But the fact is, just because you're in church doesn't mean that your whole life is okay. It doesn't mean that everything is on point and you're not struggling. The fact is, many people come to church because they're hurting. Many people are in church because they're struggling. And you might be sitting down in these pews worshiping and listening to the sermon, but maybe there's questions you have. Maybe you're sitting next to this person that's smiling in church, but the truth is deep down inside, there's sadness you don't even know about. And maybe you've just driven through the church parking lot, you're in the church right now, but you're tired. Some people are even in church right now and they're angry. Angry over the past, angry over things that they're experiencing right now, angry over the people that have hurt you. And some are even in church dealing with disappointment. And your life has turned in unexpected ways and you're in certain places you never thought you'd be in. And maybe you're in church right now and God is silent. You see, when life hits us hard, it's hard for us to just shake things off. And the title of today's message is just that. Shake it, because you'll make it. But you're saying, "Pastor, I just can't shake it off. My life is too rough. My life is too hard. My life is just so bitter right now. It's hard to shake things off. If you only knew what I was going through, you wouldn't tell me to shake things off, because the truth is my life and only my life is going through a hard time." But it is very possible in the name of Jesus to shake things off. In fact, just Friday, I was in Sam's Club. It's the only clubbing I do. I tell my wife that all the time, going to the club. You know, and I was at Sam's Club with my parents' card, not mine. I just got their card. You know how it is. And I was in Sam's Club doing my usual rounds around the free samples. How many can I get a witness round about the free samples till you're full? And anyway, as I'm doing my rounds getting free samples, I come across this one table with a lady that was giving samples of dragon fruit. And as she began to just pass on little cute cups of dragon fruit, I'm in the line waiting for a dragon fruit. Man, I haven't had a dragon fruit. I want to try a dragon fruit. And as I go into the table to get my dragon fruit, this lady decides to talk to me. I just want the fruit, lady. But she starts talking to me. And she starts saying, do you know why they call it a dragon fruit? And in my mind, I was like, I don't care. But she said, do you know why they call it a dragon fruit? And I said, why? And she goes, it's named after a dragon. I'm like, duh. But she goes, because it's rough and it's tough. But on the inside, it's strong and beautiful. And when she said that, something in my spirit just clicked. You see, she got the knife and she cut it in half. And as she showed it to me, and I tried it, the fact is that on the outside, it was very rough. On the outside, it has these little prickly things that can actually hurt you and be painful. On the outside, it has a hard surface. But see, a dragon fruit, when it first starts off, it's very hard and bitter, not so sweet. But with time, on the inside, it gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And even though the outside doesn't change, even though it's still hard, even though it's still rough, and even though it's still painful, on the inside, it becomes something different and it's sweet. And when this lady was explaining this to me, I really felt in my spirit and in my heart that God was showing me this is exactly what I want to do in the lives of the people at Forward. You see, she explained to me why the dragon fruit becomes so sweet even though it starts off with a very hard, rough, painful surface. It's because it is connected to a vine. And the vine is actually what gives it its source of nutrients and sweetness with time. And as long as the dragon fruit remains in the vine, it is able to produce in this dragon fruit an interior of sweetness, even though it has an exterior of roughness. Let me just preach this morning and get to the point. As Christians, life is rough. Amen. As Christians, life is painful. Can I get a witness? And sometimes life just hurts. But see, as Christians, we are supposed to be different than the world. Even though our lives are rough on the outside, and maybe it's painful and difficult, the truth is on the inside, there should be a certain sweetness in our attitude because we are connected to a higher source of power, and His name is Jesus. Our source of strength, our source of power, our source of love. So when we are broken down on the inside, we should be completely different than the world. But if we're being honest, sometimes people on the inside match what they're going through on the outside. And I'm talking about people in the church. Have you ever met a rough person? Some people are rough because their life's been rough. They have a rough attitude, a rough outlook, a rough perspective. They speak rough words. They're rough with people. Why? Because you never know on the inside. They've gone through such a rough past. And many people become what they are on the outside, what they've gone through. Have you ever met a bitter person? If you're not careful, you can match what you're going through on the outside. And life has been bitter. And people have been bitter. And because you've been bitter on the outside, you've allowed bitterness on the inside, and you become a bitter person. You're always critical. You're always negative. You always see the downside in everything. You never see the blessing. You're never happy. You're always bitter and angry and bitter and angry. Why? Because you have had a bitter life. But see, sometimes if we're not careful, the outside can affect us on the inside. Amen? You could be a rough person, a bitter person. You ever met a sad person? Depressed all the time? Down all the time? You're almost afraid to say, hey, how are you? Because you're going to get the story. They're just down, discouraged, moping, never happy. They literally suck the joy out of you. That might be you this morning. You know why you're so sad? Because maybe you've gone through some sad situations on the outside. You've gone through a sad season. But whether life is rough, painful, see, some people have gone through so much pain, they become a pain themselves. Your life has been filled with so much pain, you hurt others. And maybe life is rough right now, and it's painful right now, and it's sad right now, and it's discouraging right now. But in Jesus, we should be different. Because we should never match on the inside what we're going through on the outside. And if a dragon fruit can be rough on the outside and have pain on the outside and be hard on the outside, but yet be sweet on the inside. Why? It's because it's connected to a vine. It's not connected to its outside sources. And John 15, 5, it says this. Yes, Jesus said, I am the what? I am the vine. And you're the branch. And those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. See, Jesus is saying it doesn't matter what you're going through on the outside. When you are connected to Christ, when you are connected to the vine, He gives you a supernatural source of strength and power and love that surpasses all understanding, that gives you peace and gives you joy, because your joy is not connected by what you're going through on the outside. Your joy is found only in Jesus who's on the inside. That's why, even though your life, like the dragon fruit, can be rough and painful and hard on the inside, because you believe in Jesus, because you're connected to the vine, did you know that there should be a difference in your life, your attitude? In fact, as a Christian, you should be sweet. How many sweet people do I have here? Not many. I've seen you after church. You say, well, Pastor, I can't help it. I'm not so sweet because my life is bitter. But again, do not become on the inside what you're going through on the outside. Jesus says, when you remain in me, the vine, no matter how rough and bitter and difficult and sad on the outside your life may be, because you're connected to Jesus through a relationship in Christ, you're connected to a vine. He gives you the source and the strength to produce fruit in your life. What fruit is He talking about? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love. Joy. Peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Here's a doozy: self-control. Can we go back to that list, 22? Do we not need the Holy Spirit's power? I want you to look at these words. How different would your life be if you lived with each and every one of these godly attributes? You would say, man, my life would be blessed. Ladies, how different would your marriage be if your man, your husband, had these attributes? You're like, ooh, Poppy, yeah, I would love him. Man, what if your wives had these attributes? Imagine you wake up to a woman like this, who just loves and is patient and lets you go fishing and never questions you, and she's kind when you come back home late, in goodness and faithfulness. And she has self-control. She doesn't even say, where you been? Why are you so late with the pastor? Why you gotta go fishing all the time, Stephanie? Listen, the truth is, can you imagine if everyone at Forward had fruits like this? I'd be the happiest pastor ever. I would have faithful believers who are good and kind and patient and giving and loving. I would say, man, can you imagine what would become of our church, our lives, our family, our children, our every area of your life if you lived by the fruit of the Holy Spirit? How different would your life be? The reason that the Bible says this is because it is possible through the power of the Holy Spirit if you walk with Him. You can be sweet in spite of how rough life is, how difficult your problems, how unfair, how sweet it is, church, that when we are connected to the vine, and His name is Jesus, that we can grow and live our lives with such godly attributes that it will bless any area of our lives we touch. But Jesus said, apart from me, you can do none of it. And the reason we have so many Christians that are angry all the time and bitter and have foul language and gossip and slander and rage and have no patience and are sad and depressed and depression and everything on them, the reason that that's so evident, I guarantee, because that person is apart from Jesus. Whether because you're working too much, too busy, distracted, I guarantee you a person that's not bearing fruit either doesn't have the Holy Spirit or is living apart from Him. But Jesus says, I am the vine. And no matter how rough and painful life, you can be sweet. And I know I sound crazy, but maybe this morning the Lord is getting ready to make you a sweet Christian. And if you don't believe me, because your life is so unfair, because your life is so hard, I wish I had a violin right now. Oh, because you don't know who left me. You don't know what I go through. You know how hard my life is. You don't know. Listen. Shake it off. You serve a good God. And you think you have problems. You don't. You don't know what problems are. Leave this country and go to a third world country. You're going to know what problems are. You don't know what going hungry is. You don't know what not being able to pay the light bill is. You don't know the dangers of walking the street. You have no idea how blessed we are to even be on a church on a Sunday with the freedom to worship and not fearing being persecuted. You don't know. Well, you think your life is rough because they ran out of your espresso at Starbucks? You think your life is rough because you have to work an extra 2 hours? You think your life is rough because someone walked out on you? You don't know what rough is. But if you think that because of what you've gone through, you somehow have a justification to be a bitter old ogre of a man or a woman. I'm sorry to tell you this. The Holy Spirit won't let you. Because when you walk in the Holy Spirit, there is a love and a joy and a peace and a patience and a kindness and a gentleness and a self-control and a gentleness to your spirit that is evident that the Lord is near. You think you have problems? Talk to Paul. Paul, the Bible says, he gives a list of things he's gone through. Paul was beaten. Severely beaten by the Romans. 5 times. 39 lashes. 39 was close enough to get you close to death but not kill you. He went through that 5 times. He was stoned. He was thrown in prison. He was betrayed by his friends. And the Bible says, our opening verse, Paul's on his way to Rome. He's on his way to Rome because now he's a prisoner on a ship filled with prisoners. And he's on his way to Rome to get tried and go to court. And on his way to Rome, and by the way, this might have been a moment that Paul said, well, when I get to Rome, I can prove my innocence and be set free. I can't wait to get to Rome. But on his way to Rome, all of a sudden, the Bible says he was hit with a storm for 14 days. He was hit so hard by the wind and the wave that the Bible says the ship actually fell apart and broke. And Paul had to jump overboard and get what he could to swim to shore. And now the man that thought he was going to be set free in Rome is in an island deserted in Malta. So we have a man that's been beaten, stoned, thrown into prison, put on the ship, went through a storm, went through a shipwreck, and now is in a deserted island called Malta. And just when he thinks nothing else can get worse. Church, have you ever said, it can't get any worse than this? Don't ever say that. Because the minute you say that, the devil proves you wrong. The Bible says that Paul was in a deserted island. It's rainy. It's cold. He's tired. He's hungry. He's shipwrecked. Doesn't know what God is doing. Why God allowed this storm. I thought I was going to Rome. But then he sees that the villagers are building this fire. And he says to himself, oh, well, at least I can rest for a minute and warm up by the fire. And Paul, being a good Christian, said, let me just help. And he got wood. And as he bent down and put wood on the fire, a snake just pops out. And not just any snake. Because when a snake bites, usually they release. He's managed to find the one snake that holds on. Can you imagine as that snake bits and bites his arm, it's hanging. I imagine Paul saying, are you kidding me, God? Are you serious? And when I read that, I thought about, what if that snake was hanging in my church? What if that snake was on Maria? What if that snake was on my mom? What if it's on Stephanie? What if it's on Jay? What if that snake's on Thomas? What would they do? I'm afraid to ask. Some of you can't even imagine what would come out of your mouth. Some of you will be angry. And say, are you serious now? After I went through the storm and the shipwreck and prison and beaten and everything, now I have a snake. Some of you will have the best pity party in the island. Some of you with your little snake arm, you'd be, I went through the storm. I went through prison. I went and now the snake bites me. And now look at my arm and it hurts. And where's God? And God is not doing anything. Why is life so unfair? And God, what are you doing? And God, I think God is punishing me. And I think God is mad at me. And I'm worthless. And some of us would just give up. That snake just bit Paul. Look at verse 5. This is what blew my mind. But Paul shook off. Come on. Help me, church. Just shake it. Just shook off the snake. Como si nada. Just nothing. And when I read that, I said, wait a minute. Just no anger out of Paul. No anxiety, no worry. What am I going to do? I need anti-venom. Suck the poison out. Please help me, someone. No anxiety. No anger. No pity. No bad language. Didn't give up. Church, are you listening? Paul has gone through everything. And this is probably the one thing that's going to end his whole career, his whole life. It's a snake bite, a poisonous one. He's supposed to die. It's supposed to be over. But you know what Paul does? Shakes it off. Church, can I ask you a question? How much more peace would you have in your life? How better off would your life actually be? How much sleep would you actually have? How much happier would you be? If in your life, no matter what you go through, you have the discipline and the faith and the principle to just shake it off. To just let it go. Someone hurt me, I'll shake it off. Someone talked bad about me, I'll shake it off. Someone disappointed me, I'll shake it off. Things didn't work out, I'll shake it off. That door closed, I'll shake it off. That person hurt me, I'll shake it off. How different would your life be if you just shake things off? There's no doubt that snake bite hurt. And I'm not taking away from the fact that what you've gone through in your life has hurt you. But what I am saying is that the minute that snake bit him and it hurt, the snake wanted to hold on. But Paul knew this snake cannot stay in with me. This snake must be shook off in the fire and destroyed. What if God right now is saying there are things in your life that have hurt you, but you have to learn to shake off and destroy before it destroys you? I can only imagine the things and the devil has thrown at your life that have hurt you that still have a hold on you. And maybe the things of the past have a hold on you. And the things people did to you have a hold on you. And the things that didn't work out have a hold on you. And the way life has been so unfair have a hold on you. And the people that have hurt you have a hold on you. And everything has a hold on you. Bitterness has a hold on you. Unforgiveness has a hold on you. Fear has a hold on you. Depression and anxiety have a hold on you. But what if God is saying, like Paul, you don't have to have a perfect life. You can just learn to shake things off and live at peace. Come on, hit your neighbor and shake their hand. Come on, shake it. Shake it. Come on, get Cuban. Go, yeah. Shake it. Shake it off. This church needs to shake more. Because I believe some of you came to worship this morning with your little snake. And you're singing with Frankie, but the snake's there with you. You're holding on to anger and grudge and rage and bitterness and past and guilt and shame. And the snake's there and you're gone. Some of you, you're going to leave church today and your snake's saying, hey, that's a good service, huh?
Are we going back next Sunday?
Yeah, yeah, we'll go back next Sunday. We'll go back next Sunday. And all week long, your snake is hanging on you. And then you're there saying, why am I so miserable? Why am I so sad? Why am I so depressed? Why am I so discouraged? Well, I go to church, I pray, I read the Bible, I worship, and the snake says, yeah, you do. But it's still holding on to you. Come, I'm preaching to someone this morning that God is saying, it's time to shake that off. Because the people expected that snake to kill Paul. But actually, it was the other way around. Paul shook it off and he killed that snake. And that's what we got to do to this devil who tries to steal, kill, and destroy. But in Jesus' name, you can shake it off. Paul had to shake a few things off more than a snake when you read the story. And some of the things that Paul was hanging on to, I believe are the same things we have in our church this morning. Can I go down a little list that Paul went through on that island? Can you say, Pastor, preach, help me shake? All right. Number one, disappointment. He wanted to go to Rome. It was Rome where he would be set free. He would be tried as a Roman official. And he understood that if he went to Rome, he would be set free from prison. He wanted Rome. He expected to go to Rome. He made plans to go to Rome. He was happy he was going to Rome. He never saw the storm coming. He was hit by a storm and he ended up in the island of Malta. Church, put our thinking caps on. Is Malta Rome? No. What does that mean? Sometimes in your pretty little life, things don't happen the way you thought they would. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:9 that a man, we can make our what? We can make our plans. Come on, I'm going to be married by 20, 25, have kids, 28, have my career, do this, do that, retire here, go here, move here, live there, drive this. Listen to me. Nothing wrong with planning. But the Bible says when you plan, you better say in the end, if it be God's will. Because we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our what? Steps. And if we have a God that determines our steps and we don't determine His steps, it means that the way we thought we'd be stepping is not going to step. And God's going to intervene and your life is going to end up in places you never expected. That means that doors are going to close on you. It means that your timeline may not be God's timeline. And I pray that when your plans fail, and you don't end up at a certain place you thought you'd be in by now. And I thought I'd be married by now. I thought I'd had kids by now. I thought I would have this business by now, this company by now, this promotion by now. I thought I'd be retired by now. Listen, you thought it. But the way the Bible goes is simply this. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, God says. And when Paul ended up in Malta, never expecting to be there, he never even questioned God. Come on, church. Shake off disappointment. So what? It didn't work out. So what? The door closed. So what? It didn't happen the way I thought. I'm going to trust God, who loves me, who has a better plan for my life. And maybe my plans didn't work because God's way is going to be higher than my way. So in Jesus' name, I'm just going to shake that disappointment off. Come on, church, praise God today and say, Lord, I'm going to shake off the disappointment. Two. Paul had to shake off the damage caused by others. Acts 27, 10 through 11 and 21 says this. When Paul got on that ship, through spiritual discernment, Paul said, men, I believe there's trouble ahead. Was Paul right? Oh, yeah. I imagine that there was a little northeast wind he felt in his ear and God said, hurricane's coming. Don't go. And Paul tells the people, men, listen, I feel in my spirit, in my heart, God speaking to me. We shouldn't sail right now. There's trouble ahead of us. And if we go, what? If we go on, shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger, translated damage, to our lives as well. Paul knew the storm was coming. That they would be shipwrecked. There would be loss of cargo and damage. But the officers in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than who? Than Paul. Now they're in the storm. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, men, listen to this. You should have. Everyone say should have. You should have listened to me in the first place and not left. And you would have avoided all this, what? Damage and loss. And this preached to me so hard because there's a lot of you here today that you have suffered damage and loss because of someone else's negligence. Amen. Someone else's ignorance, someone else's selfishness, someone else's stupidity, someone else's choices have left you in a storm. And Paul said, you should have listened. Just think about the people that should have. They should have listened to you. They should have loved you. They should have been a better mom or dad. They should have been faithful to you. They should have been loyal to you. They should have been a friend. But let me tell you, sometimes people are not going to listen or act the way you want them to. Can I get a witness this morning? But I'm going to tell you right now that even though you are suffering because of someone else's negligence, God is still sovereign and in control. And even though you've been hurt by people and the storms you're going through is because of them, and I have nothing to do with this. I saw this coming. I never wanted to have this loss. I never wanted this damage to my life. It was all them. And even though it is all them, God is still your vindicator. God is still in control. And Paul had to shake that off. You see, some of the storms in your life are a direct result of other people's sin and disobedience. So sometimes when we're in a storm and life is hard and problems occur, we tend to want to blame God, don't we? We say, well, why is God doing this? And why is God making my life hard? And why is God so unfair? But listen, did God not tell Paul, don't you go, the storm's coming? You see, this storm had nothing to do with God and everything to do with the disobedience of other people. But Paul never got bitter. Paul shook it off. If there's been people in your life that have hurt you, if there have been people in your life that should have but didn't, don't let bitterness hold on to you. Because even though Paul said you should have listened, he still gave them an encouraging word and he still told them God would be faithful. And maybe that snake is holding on to you. Of this person, I'm in this mess because of this person. And I've lost so much because of this person. And my life is this way because of that person. Would you just shake that off and give it to Jesus? Verse 2 and 3. Paul has already shaken off the snake of disappointment, the snake of damage and loss by someone else's fault and sin. And now Paul is having to shake off something else. Look at verse 2 and 3. The people of the island were very kind. Everyone say kind. They were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. Look at verse 3. And Paul gathered an armful of sticks. Church, have you ever been so Christian? You just want to help? You just want to be a good example? So hold that verse there, Gavin. See, Paul said, I'm going to help out. I've been through a shipwreck. I'm cold, I'm hungry, I'm wet, I'm tired. But you know what? Paul, being Paul, such a great Christian person, said, you know what? This is a great witnessing opportunity. Because these people know I've gone through so much, but I'm still going to do the Christian thing. I'm going to go and I'm going to pick up some sticks and I'm going to help them. And as Paul is helping, the snake bites him. Can I preach this morning? Have you ever helped out anyone only to have it bite you back? If not, join ministry. Because you're going to help out so many people and they're going to bite back. I'm so full of snake bites from people I've counseled, people I've loved, people I've served. And maybe you lend someone the car and they crash it. You lend someone your card and they max it out. You try to help and it ends up biting you back. Have you ever volunteered for something and said, why did I volunteer for that? Have you ever told a friend, yeah, I'll help you move, and then they, why did I offer to help him move? And it bites you back. Can I tell you about one snake bite I had in church once? I had a person who will remain nameless. How many know my dad's a helper? Amen? Yeah. My dad's a helper. Loves to help. If we were on that island, dad would be the stick person. Yeah, let me help. That's dad. He wants to help. My mom would be, no, don't, you can't trust him. Cuidado. I don't know these villagers. I'm going to wait and see. Discernment. And dad's like, I'll help you with my sticks. Let's go, you know. We balance well, right? Well, I had this lady in our church that we helped out. Like Paul, we did the Christian thing. We sent dad to go help her because she had a leaky faucet. This woman was struggling. In fact, she at one point we said, why don't we get money together and let's help her get groceries. She was really struggling. She just lost her husband. We did groceries for her. We helped pay that month her light bill. Dad went over. He fixed the leaky faucets, did everything. We're like, man, that was great. We helped him. A month later, it's July 4th. We're in the Keys. We're on vacation. We're resting, enjoying ourselves away from you. And we're just enjoying life. The church line rings. Mom said, it must be an emergency because everyone knows we're on vacation, not to bother us. But listen, Mom gets the phone. She finds out this lady has a doorknob that's loose. And Mom says, okay, hey, we're on vacation now. But when we get back, I'll send my husband over and he'll fix the doorknob. Not a problem. I need it fixed now. Well, we can't go now because we're on vacation. And this woman left the church, talked bad about us, and said, can you believe they didn't even help me? Have you ever helped someone only to have it bite you back? Maria laughs because she knows. She's full of snake bites too. We're like a snake handling church. We've been bit every time. Don't say that to anyone. They won't come. But anyway. But isn't it interesting how you can be helping someone else and still get hurt? Verse 2, 4, and 5, it gets worse. This is another thing Paul shook off. The people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold, it was raining, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. The people of the island saw it hanging from my hand and said to each other, a murderer, no doubt, though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live. So Paul shook it off. Isn't it interesting? Here's another lesson. The people that showed kindness one minute, we're waiting for him to die the next. Have you ever had anyone in your life turn on you that way? One minute they love you, the next they hate you. One minute they're loyal, the next they've left you. One minute they're your friend, the next they're your enemy. People will switch on you like that. If you don't believe me, read the story. The same people that showed kindness now waited for him to die and gossiped and slandered, and none of them said, let me get you an ice pack. Let me help you get the anti-venom. Let's help Paul. We don't want him to die. All of them waited and said, oh yeah, I'm going to see this man dies. And when they saw he didn't die, they switched again. He's a god. Why? Because people will switch on you. But when Paul was there and the people waited for him to die and the people that once showed kindness turned on him, Paul didn't get angry. Paul didn't get bitter. Paul shook it off. Let people talk, church. Let people have opinions. Let them slander you. Let them gossip about you. The only one that matters is what God thinks of you. Let them talk. Shake it off. No, but I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they think that. I can't believe they don't believe in me. I can't believe people are actually that sick. They will watch you and wait to fail. They will look at your social media and wait for you to suffer and do nothing but talk garbage and not even help. Paul shook it off. One of them even said, a murderer. No doubt. Here's a funny thing. Paul was a murderer. Before Christ, he murdered several Christians in the church. Can you imagine? Maybe Paul hears one of the gossips that's going around and said, this is happening because God is mad at you and God hasn't forgiven you for your past and God is doing this because you murdered and it's an eye for an eye and now God is giving you what you deserve. And Paul can feel the shame and Paul can feel the guilt, and maybe they're right and maybe I'm going through this because God is mad at me and God is punishing me. But Paul heard those words and he still, come on church, shook it off. He shook off disappointment. He shook off the damage caused by others. He shook off the people that turned on him, that were 1 minute kind and the next wanting him to die. He shook off the voice of condemnation saying, this is happening because you deserve it. The snake should have killed him. Listen, church, the snake should have killed him. They waited. He's going to die any minute. This church is going to close down any minute. You watch. 15 years later, you watch any minute. Now that church is going to shut down. That marriage, yeah, they're going to divorce any moment now. That job, they're going to lose that job any moment now. That house, it's going to go on foreclosure. People are that demented. And Paul just, still standing. Come on, church, is God good or what? Still standing. Paul, still standing. And they're like, wait a minute, he's not dead yet. Still standing. You know what I want people to look at when they see us in this church? They're still standing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Snake bites and all. I'm bit, baby. I'm bit. I was hurt. I've been betrayed. I've been talked about. I've been slandered. I've been gossiped. I've been wrecked. I've been damaged. I've been lost. But there's a God that stands with me, and I stand with him. So I'm still here. Come on, shake it off and say, I'm still here. Come on, stand to your feet and say, I'm still here. I'm still standing. I'm still here because God has other things in mind. Amen. I'm still standing. What about all that, everything you went through? All that, I shook it off. I shook everything that hung, everything that comes. You go to work tomorrow, someone cuts you off, just go, eh. Your boss tells you, can you work overtime? Don't do that now. Nah.
No, you say, yeah. Whatever happens. Church, can we be sweeter or why? The snake should have killed him. But Paul's still standing. Paul still has faith. Paul still has peace. Paul's still standing. I'll close with this, church. Because you're wondering, why are there ladders here? I won't tell you. Can I preach something that's not in my notes right now? I'm so proud of you. Because I've seen some of the snake bites y'all have gone through. And every Sunday you're here, still standing. You've had to shake some stuff out. Some poison that has been injected into you, you've had to shake out. I look at everyone here. And you're still standing? I look at all of you. I look at Barbie back there. Man, what a snake shaker. Been hurt, betrayed, divorced, etc. Look at her daughter, Amanda. Snake bit. Look at my mom, my dad. Through everything they've gone through. I see Juan, I see Cookie, I see Jackie, everything. I see Roxy. If you don't know Roxy, look at her. She's still standing. I look at Dennis, I look at Donnie going through cancer. What a snake bite. Still standing. I look at all of you in this church. I look at Jane, Stephanie. They're still standing together. She hasn't killed them. I look at Zach and what he survived and what he's gone through. And look at him. He's still standing. And Kevin's still standing. And me and Jericho and Frankie and Dan. All of us. Man, we're still standing. Why? Because there's a God. There's a God. And the world might be sick and demented and watch you, waiting for you to die, waiting for you to quit, waiting for you to suffer, but they're going to keep waiting because God is faithful. I see so many of you. I can't believe I see Nick here in the church again, still standing. And Kevin and everybody. Church, we're still standing. And Nancy, all crippled and whatnot, but she's still standing. You know, she can't physically stand right now, but she will, and she's gonna come back to church, and she's gonna be all snake bit, but she's gonna say, "Hey, Nancy, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. I'm shook. Yeah. I got hurt. I got bit. But that devil is in the fire now." Yeah. Come on, church, stand to your feet. Shake it off. Come on, shake it off. Pastor, how do I just shake it off? You don't know my life. You don't know the snakes. Listen. John 15, 5 through 7. I am the vine. You are the branch. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. What does it mean to remain? Well, God tells us, verse 6, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away, useless, like a branch that withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, and my what? My words remain in you. If my words remain, what does it mean to remain in the Lord? It means to remain in His words. If you remain in my words, remain, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Church, this illustration is crazy though. I'm afraid of it. Because I'm going to use this illustration in another sermon I have, but I thought I'd bring it today a little different. But every day of your life, God says you're going to have my word. Genesis through Revelations. God has a promise and a word for every snake bite you go through. But then we're human and we have our emotions. We have the facts
of what you're going through. The fact of what you see. The fact of what you're thinking. The fact of what you know. How you feel. The fact of what everyone says. You can't get away from either one. So every day, it's like walking on two ladders. Bad idea. Okay. Come on, one more step. One more step. One more step. See, you're like those villagers. You want me to die. You're just waiting. Just one more step. This is bad. It's going to be bad. Okay. So here's the thing. This is our lives. This is our lives. Every day. We have our emotions. We have the Word of God. The question is, there's only a certain point I can reach. But eventually, I have to make a choice. Am I going to just lean on my emotions and live in fear because of the facts of my life and what I think and what's going to happen? And I know it's going to happen. I know I'm going to die. I know I'm going to lose my job. I know I'm going to be single forever. I know I'm going to be alone. That's what they say. That's what I feel. That's what I see. That's the facts. And you're miserable because you've chosen to hold on to your feelings. You can't get out of your head. You go by the facts. You go by what you see, what I know, what they say. They say inflation's never going away. And I know I'm going to lose my job because I can see that everyone's quitting and everyone's getting fired. And that's a fact. So I think I'm going to be poor and forever and lose my home. And I'm going to feel, and I feel so lonely and depressed. And that's why we're so miserable, because we have chosen wrong. We're in between our emotions and the Word of God. But I can't do both. I gotta make a choice. So I go to the Word of God. And Paul went through disappointment, but he shook it off, because God works all things for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And Paul went through damage and storms by other people, but the Bible says, the Word says, vengeance is His. He will repay. It is Him. It is His to avenge, says the Lord. And as far as it depends on me, I'm going to live at peace, and I'm just going to surrender them to You, Lord, because You say in Your Word that no weapons formed against me will prosper. So I'm going to hold on to Your Word. And yes, they're watching and they're waiting for me to die, and they want the snake to kill me. But Lord, I'm not getting anyone to help me. But that's okay, because Your Word says that the Lord is my helper, my healer, my deliverer. So I don't need You. I have the Word of God. And even though they say that I'm going through this because of my past, I'm going through this because of everyone I murdered, Your Word says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have You removed my sins. And He is faithful and just and will forgive my sins. And nothing can separate me from my God. So I'm going to hold on to the Word. I'm not going to go by this ladder, because this ladder is so unstable. But this ladder keeps me steady. But you have to make the choice. You have to make the choice. What are you going to do? Is the Word of God the ultimate authority of your life? Do you faithfully honor it and obey it? Is it your foundation? Because it's not, then this is where you're at. And the snake hangs on. Because you live by facts, thoughts, feelings, what they say, what I know, what I see. You don't believe me? That's the most I've worked out all week. Acts 27, 22 through 25. In the storm, Paul said, take courage. None of you will lose your lives. How many of you just need to hear that today? Even though the ship will go down, it's going down. For last night, an angel of God to whom I belong, you know you belong to God? And because you belong to God, you're going to be okay. I belong to God, and who I serve, he stood beside me and said to Paul, don't be afraid. For you will surely stand trial before Caesar. He said, you're going to Rome. What more? God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So notice what Paul said. So take courage. I believe God. It will be just as he what? Said. So Paul's in the storm. And everyone's afraid and discouraged. And they're all holding on here. The fact is that the hurricane's bad. And I think we're going to be wrecked and we're going to die. And I feel like it's the end. And they say that it's over and getting worse. And I know that we're not going to make it because I see everything falling apart. But Paul said, no, 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 no. Take courage. Come over here. What did God say? God said, I'm going to Rome. So if I'm in Malta and the snake bites me in Malta, but God said I'm going to Rome, I ain't going to be afraid of that snake because God said I'm going to Rome. So if I'm going to Rome, I'm going to shake the snake off and I'm not going to die because thus says the Lord. And I'm choosing to believe God. That's how. Church, shake it off. Can I pray with you? Come on. Father, in Jesus' name, come on, if there's a hand that needs to be shaken right now, you shake your hand in the air as a testimony to God. Lord, whatever it is, come on, shake it. What is it the Lord is saying to you? Shake it. Your past, your thoughts, what someone did, how someone should have loved you but didn't, the pain you're going through. In Jesus' name, will you choose today to stand on his word and shake it off? Come on, grab that hand of that person next to you. Because this Wednesday night Bible study, we're going to finish this story. So I pray you guys join us. Grab that hand, that snake bit hand. You're holding the hand of someone that's been bit and hurt and betrayed. But this morning, God had a word for you. It's time to shake off what's holding you. And trust what I say. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everyone in this church today that we would shake off, be set free from everything holding on to us. Father, I thank you that no matter what we go through, we are still standing because we are standing in your word. So in spite of what we see, what we think, what we feel, what we know, what they say, what the facts may be, your word is above all things. And Father, like Paul, teach us to choose your word, to study your word, to pray over your word and declare your word over every situation in our lives. And let the word be the foundation of our lives so we can better shake everything off as we trust you. In Jesus' name. Take everything now that's being shaken off and set us free in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Come on, shake it off and give God some praise today. Give God some real praise today, church. Amen and amen.